of always. I believe that God has orchestrated it so that we can really begin to sense what he has for us as a people and his heart toward us. It doesn't matter what it took to get you here, you're here. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. God could take your past, he can change it, renovate it, rearrange it, and make something good out of it. So I don't care what the enemy tells you. I don't care what he said about it. It doesn't matter. He's a liar. And so you have to know that God has good plans towards you. Those plans are to prosper you and not to harm you, to actually give you a hope and a future. How many of you have seen God's faithfulness in your life? And so we could go on all day and just kind of go in the flow of the Spirit of God and what he wants to do. God, I believe God wants to do something different in church in general, where the Spirit of God is actually woven through. Okay, a service. And that thread today is for us to begin to understand that even when you don't feel it or see it, God is working in your life. And so that thread of the Holy Spirit is working in your life constantly, whether or not you actually physically can see it or not. He's working when you're sleeping. He is working when you get up. And the work that he started, he will complete. And so love always completes. The Bible says God is love. And we're going to get right into this today. Okay? And number one is this, is love always protects, okay? It protects. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Eric, go ahead and put it up for me, if we've got it up in there. We're going to read a little bit of this to kind of get our text, and we'll go forward this week and also in the next coming weeks. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. Who does it sound like? It keeps no record of wrongs. I'm going to say that again. It keeps no record of wrongs. If I have the gift, what happened here? If I have the gift of prophecy, we just went backwards and can fathom all mysteries. We'll just go backwards and forwards. It doesn't matter. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, okay? So if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain absolutely nothing, okay? Skip me over, Eric. Come on. Come on. Skip me over, man. We're missing it. Last four of this is this. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Here's where we're landing. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Then the Bible goes on to say, love never fails. Those are the four things we're going to hit on this month. Love always protects. You have a God who's always been for you, never been against you. I don't care whether or not you say that God's trying to ruin my life or you don't understand where I came from. Number one, you don't understand that God was already here before you got here. And so God already had a plan before your life was even set into motion. And so if you can understand that the sin issue was already taken care of before sin even entered into the world, that he was already coming. The Bible said, but God demonstrated his love in this, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died. God didn't say, well, when they get it all together, I'm going to die. He said, no, I'm going to come and die first. And by the way, before the foundations of the world, the Bible says the Lamb was slain. So God already had an answer. He said, I'm already coming. So the fact is that you have ever disappointed God or that you have ever let God down is a little bit of a lie. Because the fact is that does God get displeased? Yes. Do you think God gets disappointed in some of the stuff that we do? Yes, he does. Do you think God ever says, you know what, there's no hope? No. Because God says, I never look at you and I never say I made a mistake. I already knew what I was getting into when I created you. I already knew that you were going to have a certain type of proclivity to gravitate toward this type of sin. I already knew you were going to be weak here. I already knew that Adam was going to fall. He was going to be too weak to say no. I already knew that there were going to be things in your family line generationally that you were going to battle and that you were going to lose. I already knew all that stuff. I already knew that even when I blessed you that you would turn from me. I already knew that even when I reached out to you and unconditionally shed my blood upon a cross, that most would say, I don't want to have anything to do with him. I already knew that. I already knew in the end that some would be saved, not everyone would be saved. I already knew that you would take my truth and that you would distort it and that you would become so zealous, even to the point of killing people over it in my name. I already knew that. I already knew that you would fall short in preaching my gospel because it's impossible for you to even to live like I've called you to live without my Spirit. I already knew that. I already knew that when I called you, I was going to have to be with you the whole time, because that you are so weak in your depraved state that you were never going to make it without me. I already knew that your eyes were going to turn to the right and they were going to turn to the left even when I told you to look straight. I already knew about that. I already knew that you were going to get into a relationship and I told you not to anyway, and that that was going to ruin your life and it was going to bring in things and open you up to things in your life that should not be there. I already knew that, but I still loved you. I already knew that when I banged on the door of your heart and said, don't go that way, and you went that way anyway, I already knew I still were going to love you, and I was still going to provide a way for you to come back to me. I already knew this stuff. I already knew that when the Israelites were in the wilderness, that they were going to set up idols, and that they were going to set up things to sacrifice to other gods. Me, the very God who saved them out of Egypt, I already knew that when I brought them out, I had plans for them, that we were going to have to go around in the wilderness for 40 years. I was going to have to wait for them. Because I had a plan in mind, and I already knew that they were going to fall short of it. And I've been reaching out from that day until this day, and reaching out and saying, Israel, come home. From that day until this day, I was saying, people, come home. If God is here today and he's knocking on the door of your heart and says, listen, come home, stop doing that. It's because he has a plan and a purpose for you, and that the way that you are going isn't necessarily the way that God wants you to go. So be excited that God is bothering you today. Be excited about that. Okay, I already knew it. I already knew who you were going to marry. I already knew you were going to mess it up. That's hard. I already knew it. I tell you what, I'm a redeemer, and I can restore it. I already knew you were going to mess your kids up, because without me, it's impossible even to get in. I am the redeemer, okay? I redeem things. Okay, you're not the redeemer. I redeem things. You can do the best you can to love your kids and be in relationship with your kids, but in the end, know that I created them, and they're mine. Okay, and I'll take their life and I'll do whatever I want to do with their life. Thank you for being a part of their life and providing wisdom and providing direction. But I'll take their life and I'll do what I want. And so no matter what, God said, I have a plan and a purpose, and that you cannot thwart my ultimate plan and purpose. You cannot. Because if we could do that, that means that we'd be in control of God. You are not in control of God today. God is in control of you. And he is running this thing right now. He's got the earth on his finger, just spinning it like a basketball. Okay? That's how good God is. God is holding it all together and protecting you even now from the atmosphere and the environment around you. He's protecting you even now. So if things get into your life, sometimes they get into your life just because we've got doors that we have not shut in our life. There are things that we have left open in our life. Sometimes it's just being around other people who are not healthy. And because they're not healthy, you've allowed what's in their life to get into your life, because that area of your life is not healed and whole. And now you've got infestation coupled with infestation, and now you've got a real problem. Have you ever noticed that certain types of people hang around together? People who have issues with talking and gossip, what do? They hang around together because they gravitate toward that certain type of thing in your life. Look at those things in your life. What do you gravitate toward? Who do you gravitate toward? Have you ever stopped to take inventory of your life and ask yourself, why do I do this in my life? And sometimes it's not a matter of, why do I do this? Sometimes it's a matter of, God has made you in a certain way. And he's wired you in a certain way. That's why you like certain things. Don't make apologies for some of the things in your life that you like and you enjoy. Okay? But there comes a point in your life of where if you begin to gravitate toward things that are not healthy, the Bible calls beneficial toward you, then you should avoid those things. Because God said, I'm here to protect you. And when you look at this word protect, it really is being shielded by God's power. Being shielded by God's power. Isaiah 43, Eric, put that scripture up for me in Isaiah that's there. We have it in there. 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Okay? So think about it this way. You've got a God who understands that you're going to go through some stuff in your life. You're going to go through some stuff. Especially if you are calling yourself a Christian and you want God's best and you want God's will. God says, okay, then we're going to have to go through some stuff, because in order for you to get to where you need to go, there's going to be some issues you're going to have to face in order to get there. Anybody who tells you differently is lying and they haven't read the Bible. So when you begin to understand that when you walk through fire, you'll not be burned and the flames will not set you ablaze. You know that there is a God who is with you that is actually walking with you in the process. Okay? It says nothing about not walking through this. When you look at the actual word, it means walking through, by, or passing, or over. So in all connotations, God said, listen, whether you walk through it, you walk around it, you walk over it, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be with you. Because there's something that's in your life, God said, I'll help you avoid. There's other things in your life, I want you to walk straight through. There's other times in your life, I'll help you go over it. Okay? Everyone knows that when you're walking up into a trap in the wilderness and you see a trap that's a bear trap, to walk around it, not to stick your foot in it, just to see how it feels. Because you won't have a leg left when you do that. So in instances like that, and you know what I'm talking about, God will, situations will come up and you know it's a trap. How many of you know that? You know it's a trap and you do this. Right in. I know it's a trap, but I like it. It looks great. And you walk right into the trap and God said, dummy, if you would just look for the way of escape, and in this situation was just walk to the right a little bit, you could have avoided it. But we walk right into it. Whether or not you walk in it, walk around it, you fell in it, you didn't fall in it, God's love for you does not change. It doesn't change. But what it does is it teaches you the next time you see the trap, don't walk in the trap. Walk around the trap. And God is saying to us today, listen, I'm going to allow you to suffer some things mentally so you begin to understand the power that you have over your own mind. So that you begin to understand what it looks like to be able to gain control over a mind that I have given you. So you will have to begin to fight against things that are contrary to my perfect will for you, and you will have to learn how to take thoughts captive according to my obedience. I will not do it for you. I will allow you to see that you have the strength to do it, and you will struggle toward it, and as you struggle in it, faith will be built. So next time that trap comes around, you walk right around that and says, now I see that trap. I'm moving right in because I am not getting sucked back into that cesspool of anxiety in my life. And that's what it is. You got to understand where the trap is. And so the trap is set for you. And each one of us has a particular trap. There are different traps for different animals. Some smaller, some bigger. We used to live in a house years ago. And Lord help us, there were a period of time when I came home, and it was privy to rats. And how many of y'all know, if rats get in, man, we got problems, okay? And so we had problems. So we came in, and I was introduced to rats firsthand, and rats would come in the house, and all of a sudden to be in the ceiling. And I'm like, man, why is the smell in this house right now? What's going on? And I said, we got to set some traps. So we set some traps, and sure enough, we would come home, and I knew the smell. I began to get the smell. I knew what it was. Oh, man, something died. I walk right in, I look around, sure enough, pop up the ceiling, dead, I mean, not like far away, right in there, set that trap, dead rat, sweep it up, put it in the garbage. Man, I got so used to this. There was a string of times, I remember during a week, we were at a church and we were having an event. Every night I came home, I'm like, what's that smell? I went right to that spot right up there. I'm like, I'm accustomed, you know, all that stuff. Hey, listen, we all do. Okay, so went up there a little bit. Open the ceiling. Sure enough, that rat's there, dead. Put him back in there. I got so sick of that thing. I'm like, I cannot take this. I got so used to it. I knew where it was going to be. I knew what was going. And my smeller, I was so in tune. Ask Misty. That anytime I smell something remotely like that, I'm like, it's a rat. No, it's not. It's a rat. I'm telling you. Sure enough, Linda's garage, about a month ago, rats, dead. Dead. Brought me back to years ago. When I was an exterminator and a pastor at the same time, and I had to deal with these rats. And I said, you know, I can't deal with this no more. I'll take a rat over a cockroach, though. Anyway, that's another story for another day. Now, but I learned, and I began to hear, not just hear the smell, I knew what it was. How many of you can smell your trap? You know what it is now. So now next time it comes up, man, I know what that is. I know what that is. And Scott, pray for me. I know what it is. And if you're not careful, you could fall prey to it. What's the trap? Some of you, it's unhealthy relationships. You get in relationships, man, you know it's a trap. And the enemy throws it in every time. I was talking to someone the other day, and the enemy is so old at what he does, but we make like it's new. So every time we seem to get over a certain area of our life of victory, here comes another thing on the back end that tries to remind us of our shadow or the weakness that we have in our life and how we really can't receive what God has for us in our life because. And mind you, it's not that God hasn't come through and we haven't seen a victory. We have. But at that very moment, the enemy comes in with an old trick, not in a new way. It's the old trick. And says, okay, but by the way, you know you still struggle. By the way, you know you're not going to be able to receive what God has for you because you have issues in this area and you can't seem to do it. And what it is, it's the trap. And so you have to understand that, hold on, that the same God that was walking with me through the water, the same God that was protecting me from the elements, through that same God is the same God who's going to help me deal with this trap right now. Because God does not alleviate the trap. He does not alleviate the temptation. Because all temptation is common to man. He will say, I do provide a way of escape. You got to look for that thing. And so for some of you, it's just, I just got to stop that thought process right now and say, no, I can't do that. You just know. Next time, hold up. I saw him come through. He promised it to me. I am going to do it. I don't see it necessarily. I'm telling you what. But I am going to see the promises that God has given me in my life, and I am going to see it take place. And so it's hard for me to preach without really revving up on this thing because this is a real deal for people. This is a real deal. But you have to make up in your mind that regardless, I am walking through this. And this is what God does. God says, okay, I'm going to have you walk through this. Okay, I showed you how to go around some stuff, but listen, we're going to walk through this because I want you to see that my strength is made perfect in weakness, that you have the ability to overcome this because who I am, you got the ability, and to know that I love you, I've got a plan for your life, I've not abdicated you, we're going to do this thing together. You got to do it. You got to walk through it and say, I'm doing it. There's no escaping some stuff. And this is where the enemy comes in to try to get you. There are things right now I'm believing for in my life that God's promised me. And he's coming. Don't think he doesn't come and circle. But you got to know who God is, what he's done for you, and say, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Come hell or high water, I'm doing this thing. What's your trap? What is your trap? I tell people, you know, people get in relationships, I'm like, you need to be careful how far you go in relationships. You open yourself up to things you do not need to open yourself up to, especially if that person is not like-minded like you. What's number one thing that you deal with in life? Life is beautiful, okay? And it's about relationships, right, that we have with people. Relationships are in all different places and different levels. That's what life is. Jesus is about relationship. And so it's wonderful when people get together. It's wonderful when relationships begin to bud. And you look at it and you're excited. But it's dangerous when you're with someone who God said, that's not who I have for you. It's dangerous when you're with someone who's not like you in spirit and who doesn't have like-mindedness. Doesn't mean that they don't have disagreements. They don't have to be you. But it has to be a like. There's a danger there that if you open yourself up to things in your life, it's going to be hard to get in. Soul ties are hard to break. Listen, it's hard enough being with someone who God has called you to be with, as opposed to, okay, well, I'm going to try it without God's perfect will, and I'm going to do it this way. We're going to try and see if it works. And it's nothing wrong. I pray that my girls, as they begin to grow up, that love is not awoken before it's time. Because some of us were forced into things too early. And so you awaken things up before it's time. You can't handle it. And you get crushed by the emotion of things, and you don't realize where your identity lies. And before you know it, that you begin to start off on a path in your life looking for love in all the wrong places. And before you know it, you're walking just like a pinwheel. You just keep walking around. Will you give me love? Will you give me love? Well, he didn't give me love. I'm going to find you. You give me love. You give me love. And we just keep walking around. Just love, love. Wherever you think love is, that's where you go. And it's really not love. What it is you're looking for acceptance for someone to tell you that you're okay. And in reality is you are okay, but it's because you've allowed your identity to be misplaced into something else that you have a hard time recognizing where real identity should be. And love and acceptance is a big deal. That's why counselors get paid so much to help you rework your thought process. You want to rework your thought process, it's going to be hard, but you're going to have to get into the Word of God, renew your mind, get around other Christians, good Christians who push you. Not all Christians are good. You're looking for someone else to give you affirmation. I'm telling you what, you got to get into the Word of God and allow God to tell you who you are, because there are certain things that you begin to learn real quick in life that I'm not rising without Him. I'm not moving forward without Him. I am not going where I need to go without Him. Everyone else, I love y'all, and I want God's best for you. Praise God. But in the end, I got to hook in with Him. But how many people are getting hooked into so many other things, and they can't even do things by themselves? They can't do life. Community is great. But I got to commune with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords constantly. He's the only one. And then once you begin to realize that, you begin to rise and you really begin to see God begin to do some things in your life and preserve you. Preserve you. That's who God is. When God comes in and says, listen, step away from that, move away from that, it's because I'm really trying to preserve who you are as a person. I love you as an individual. God, He said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to show you so much how much I love you, that I'll cause it not to work. So that I have your attention. And you can fight me over it, but I'm doing it for your good. Israel, I'll show you one, Saul. Here you go. It didn't work. But I love you so much, I'll give you what you want. Just to show you, in reality, it's not what you want. Because in the end, you won't be looking for me. Isn't that what we do? Because we know where a lot of our searching ends up. It starts out this way, and it always ends back, oh, Lord, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. There is none like you. Lord, I worship you. Thank you. I worship you in spirit and truth today. You are the way. Thank you that you are the lover of my soul. Thank you for protecting me. Some of y'all just better praise God right now for taking you out where you were. Figure out where you were, and here you are today. Took you out of a hard place, a place that was going nowhere, and says, I'm going to set you on my rock, me. Without Him, where would you be? Some of y'all right now, and look at some people. God's grace has truly been sufficient. Through all the stuff that you've gone through, how He's preserved you and kept you intact so that He can do a work in you. And the enemy wants to do everything he can and try to derail you off that purpose. But God says, nah, I love you too much. I'm going to put you back in. And I don't care if it was your doing, somebody else was doing. I really don't care about that. God says, my grace is sufficient. I'll get you back where you need to be. That's the one thing about God. Ever get lost before? One cool thing about getting lost is that there's always a road back on where you need to go. Just find a frontage road and make a U-turn. Or ask Bob down at the gas station. There's always a way back. And God said, there's always a way back for me. I can redeem it, and I'll put you right back on the highway where you need to go. Detours happen. Life happens. But don't get stuck in the detour. Living down in some other place where you're not even supposed to be. The prodigal son got a revelation when he woke up in a pig pen and said, even the servants of my father's house have it better for me. What am I doing here? Have you woken up yet and said to yourself, what, fill in the blank? And praise God for where He's brought you today. I'm going to give you this phrase. You can take it for what it is. Some of us are so in bed with the enemy, just sleeping with the enemy, man. Just hearing him talk to us, intimate with him, that we forget that God is the only one who's supposed to take that place. So you got to be careful who takes up residency in your emotions, who takes residency in your into your intimate parts of who you are. Because if you're not careful, his whispers will begin to overtake what God really says about you. And you'll end up in bed with people, places, and things that God does not want you to be involved in. And we don't want to hear that because it's like, well, that's hard. It's the reality of it. Ask someone who's drunk, who's woken up in a place they don't even recognize. I don't know how I even got here. I'll tell you how he got there. And when they find out, they're shocked that they made it. That's one of the worst feelings in the world, to not be able to have control over your own life and understand where you're going to wake up. I don't know where I woke up. I don't know how. It's 3 days later? Have you ever been in a position in your life where you finally woken up and God said, listen, you know where you are right now? You know where you are. You're looking down off a cliff. And that if you're not careful, one more slip, you're gone. And so I'm telling you right now, by the Spirit, pulling you back and saying, stop looking down off the cliff. I've given you a chance. How many look back over your life and say, man, God saved me from the stuff. Literally, I should be dead. There's some things in my life. I shouldn't be here right now. Well, woken up to the fact that God had a plan and purpose for my life. And listen, now I got to go. You have to, in yourself, say, it's too much riding on this thing for me to miss it. You can't miss it. Oh, is it worth missing it, is what I'm saying. If God does love you and he always protects you and he's preserving you for what he has, is it worth missing it for what you're doing right now in your life? Is it worth missing it for God really knocking on the door of your conscience and say, hey, come on, man, it's me, come on. You know what that looks like. You know, God is so God, but he's also so man, cool. Well, he talks to you like he does, like an individual. You know I'm God, but hey, man, come on, Brad. We going to do that again? And you catch yourself. Once you grow in Christ, you begin to catch the trap and move yourself right back on and say, oh, sorry, I'm good. God doesn't discount that. You're still going to have that struggle. There's still going to be struggles in your life. Don't take this message and be like, well, God saved me. He protects me. Nothing will ever get in. Woohoo! Stuff's going to get in. He said when he passed through the waters, doesn't mean you're not going to feel wet. When he walked through the fire, doesn't mean you're not going to smell like smoke. Doesn't mean it's not going to hurt. Doesn't mean that you're not going to feel hot. But what he said was, you'll not be burned from it. You'll not be overtaken from it. But you will feel it. I'm going to allow you to feel it. It's going to hurt, but that's where healing comes. It's going to be tough, but that's where your faith is going to be built. You're not going to know what to do, but that's where wisdom is birthed. Oh, come on now, come on. You're not going to feel it all the time, but listen, that's where you're going to begin to understand where you walk by faith and not by sight. You won't understand it, but then you'll begin to understand what it means really to trust in me, because I always protect you. I'm in this whole metamorphosis, I am always protecting you. I'm helping you change in this thing. And you know, if it wasn't for God helping you change, you wouldn't make it. But he's so good, when you pass through the waters and you walk through the fire, at the end, I'm going to keep you intact. But you're going to be changed. Because what I'm really after is a change. So you can become the son and daughter that I've called you to become. That's what I'm after inside. The change. The faith being perfected. That's what I'm after. Above anything else, I don't care about your cars. I don't care about your house. There's all the things, God said, those are great things that I give you, delight, whatever. But besides all that, what I'm after is your faith being perfected. And once that faith is perfected, we have done our work. and then we can move on to the next level. I'm in this for a while. It's good. Your faith is being perfected. Because once you get out of that thing, guess what? Thank you, Jesus, that I received that crown of life that you promised me once I persevered. Not in heaven only, but here. There's a life that comes from persevering through things in your life. Thank you for that life. And guess what happens? The next time I'm in something else in my life and I'm ready to receive what God has for me, but I'm still, guess what? He's still protecting me. He's still preserving me. Last thing, he's still pushing me. He's still pushing me. Listen, we're not going through the waters and just staying there. We are going to the other side. We are going. He's the one. When you didn't want to go anymore, I'm the one who's going to push you. I got to push you. If God was not pushing you, you wouldn't make it. You'd drown. And I told you before, and I'll say it again, there's some things in my life that God says, if you don't fight through this thing and you don't get through this thing, you won't make it. Well, what about God's grace? No, if you don't fight through this thing and you don't stand in faith, you will not make it. But God, no, if you don't fight in this thing and stand in this thing, you will not make it. And I had to make a decision to say, no, I'm going to walk through this thing and go through this thing no matter what. Because the fear of not making it pushed me. I didn't want to miss it. But I also knew that God said, you can't stay here. You can be content, but I have not called you to do like the world does and accumulate a bunch of possessions and get comfortable and fat and die off. What I want you to do is keep moving, because you are transforming by the renewing of your mind, and you are proving what is my good and my acceptable and my perfect will for you. Keep doing it. I'm tired. It's okay to be tired. No one says you can't be tired. But God is working all these things out. At the same time, he's protecting you, he's preserving you, and he's pushing you. He knows what he's doing. He knows when it means when it's time to push. He knows when it is. He says, okay, take a break for a minute. Take a break. Take a break. Some of us get long seasons of our life. We're like, man, is this thing ever going to break? Everyone break? Yeah, it's going to break. Sometimes at the end of it, it gets harder until the actual breaking takes place. But you got to stand in it long enough in order to see it. 40 weeks is the normal gestation period, correct? Thank you. Every phase that the woman goes through gets harder. Every phase. They get to that last trimester, I want this baby out of me right now. I don't care what it is. Get it out of me right now. And they are ready to get this thing out of, okay? And they're in there. Hardest thing is, one of the worst travesties when they get to the table sometimes is that, and Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like, I just can't push no more. They're exhausted, right? You have to push. It's time. I can't. I believed so long, and I was waiting for this day so long. I got nothing left. Honey, I'm telling you right now. You have to push, because what you've been believing for is about to come out. Okay? I'm telling you, at the end of this thing, if you will just push, you will look at this baby, and it will be all worth it. But I'm telling you, push, and okay. And push, and you know, it's traumatic for everyone. It's different for everyone. Now they got the IVs, and they got the epidurals, and it hardly even hurts, and it's like no pain anymore. They put it in. Oh, I just push this thing out. It's like just, woo. Like a miracle just comes out, right? So it just, but you got to push this thing. But it's still, I got to push. And the nurses will come and, honey, you got to push. You're only 8 centimeters. You better get me to 10. Okay? And then it's time to push. And for some of us, it gets to that point. God said, no, it's time to push. I've been waiting so long. That's good. It's time to push. I'm tired. It's okay. I got you. Just push. You're going to see it. And once you see it, it'll be worth it, like we talked about last week. And when we're done with it, what do we do? And what do women do? Say, I think I want to have some more kids. It's a good process. It's a good. Why? I totally forget the last 9 months. And then let's do it again. You got women having 5 babies, 6 babies. Some women are like just 2, and that's it. That's great. Just for financial reasons, okay? But the process is what it is, because it's never about that. It's about what? I'm going to see something at the end of this. God said, if you will just do it with me, you will see the results. You'll see it. Don't worry about it. I'm going with you. I'm in with you. It's hard. Yeah, it is. But guess what? You're healing. Your mind is stronger now than it was before. You're not tripping on stuff you used to trip on. You're going through it now. You're getting stronger. This is what I do, God said. Even when you don't feel it, I'm working. Even when you don't see it, I'm working. All of a sudden, you'll pop up on the other side and be like, whoo, feel good. Because God's doing stuff even when you can't see it. Just go through it. Just push. Just keep doing it. God said it's time to push. Push. There, I'm telling you, how do you know? You'll know. You'll know. You'll know. How do I know? You'll know. How do I know my faith's being built? You'll know. How do I know when I feel like I'm running towards something? You will know. The heat will be turned up. You'll feel like the water is pouring in around you. And God says, time to go. We got to go somewhere. But that's what God's after. How many have kids? You push your kids to be better. You protect your kids because you love them. You give them room to grow. Never in the process of raising your kids do you always look at them and say, man, you'll a good parent never says, you'll never amount to nothing. Good parent never says that. Good parent never says, well, you'll never make it anyway. That guy does another one. You don't think that happens? God always says, all right. Good parent says, no, you won't make this thing. I love you. I appreciate you for who you are, Mia. I appreciate who you are, Lexi. Thank you. I value that. I value who God's made you to be. And because they're not there, I'm just doing it in faith. It's okay. Rachel's right there. I'm talking to her too. So, okay, just I'm doing it in faith. I value you, that relationship that we have. God's got such a plan for your life. He's so good. He's going to do great things for you, and it's just going to be awesome. And all of a sudden, they begin to rise. And they know their father loves them regardless. Regardless. But at the same time, they know that there are certain boundaries that have been set for their protection, for their preservation, and they're pushed to be better at certain things. Because you're trying to do all those three things so that one day when they grow up and they become an adult, that they can function when they have the wisdom and the tools that they need in order to survive. Now, and God takes it. God takes it even now, but he takes it even there. I don't do it all correctly, but God's grace is sufficient, and God works it out where he needs to be. But all those three things are always working. They're always working. God does the same thing. Craig, I love you, man. I value you, Craig. Man, you've got such a gift. You've got such talent. But I'm telling you what, Craig, right now, I've taken you from where you were and where you are right now, and there's some great things I want to do for your life. Except there are some things I would like you to work on. I'm trying to push you in here, and if you don't push in this direction for me, you're not going to make it. I got a plan and purpose for your life. Are you willing to relinquish the old Craig? If you're willing to relinquish the old Craig, then we'll get somewhere. But if you're still holding on a former version of what Craig Purcell was like, we're not going to go somewhere. We won't. It might get hard. It might get dark. But I'm the light in the tunnel. I'll get you where you need to be. I got a plan and a purpose for your life. If you want to miss it, that's up to you. But I'm so good, and I surrounded you with so many people in your family, your mom, and so many people who love you, that if you decide that to quit or to run, you're not going to be able to. Because I will make it so uncomfortable that you will have to come up to the altar and cry out for me in front of everybody and say, we don't talk. We don't really talk, do we, like we should. We get to the point where we're like, man, God's just going to deal with me in private, and it's going to be all this. God said, I'm going to deal with you, but there's going to be a time I'm going to flush some stuff out. So when I need to go up to an altar and pray about something, that person is there, I need some prayer about some things, okay? Because God's working on my life, and God does those things. Let's get it. Let's get it out. Guys, let's talk about it. I'm pushing you. I'm pushing you. I want you to be better. I want you to talk about that. I want you to say something there because I'm trying to get you to understand that you're my kid, you're my son, you're my daughter. I have better for you. Stop living down here. It's where the enemy is. That's so weak. Thank you, Jesus. So you're in an argument. Okay. You get to a point, we're about to close. Man, come on up. You're about to close. You get to an argument. You shouldn't be arguing with the enemy, number one. Okay, I don't try not to argue with him. I try not to argue with him because the arguments are so weak. But depending on the state we're in, we tend to gravitate and get down into a weak argument and fight with him and miss out on the real truth of the matter. Nehemiah was rebuilding a wall in the Old Testament. Gets up on the wall, gets a letter, and says, "Hey, man, we don't like what you're doing. Basically, I'm synopsis. We don't like what you're doing. We'd like you to come down, and we'd like to talk about it with you." Nehemiah writes back and says, "Hey, listen, I can't come down right now because what I'm doing is too important. I can't come down off this ledge to come talk to you right now. And there are some things in your life you got to tell the enemy, I can't come down and talk to you right now, but you're not even where I'm at right now. So I can't come down and talk to you right now on this." That's why even with certain people, you can't be around certain people. You can love on them, and there are certain things you can do. But sometimes when God pushes you away from people, it's for a reason, because you don't have time to go talk about trivial things. You got there's some bigger things you got to deal with in your life, okay? You graduated from that stuff. Don't get pulled back into the second grade. So if I'm silent on some things, it doesn't mean I'm dumb. It just means that the Bible talks about even a person is deemed wise if they keep their mouth shut. Because people's cards will always be revealed. Oh, man. God. I'm going to push you to be better. I want you to wait for who I have for you to be married. I want you to wait. I got someone better for you who's going to really take you and elevate you to the next level. Oh, man, I got someone better for you. They're going to push you. They're going to get you to a place where you never thought was, but just wait. Just wait for me. No, I don't want to wait, Lord. I want to be like everybody else because everyone else, it's Valentine's Day, and Jared has a sale. And what we do is we start looking, and everybody else, thinking that everyone else is happy. And we think just because you have someone, you're happy. And if you really talk to that person, they're not really happy. They're just doing stuff. We just have, you know, this is what we do. God said, wait for me. I got the best for you. Wait for me. All right? In the meantime, let you and me dine together. I'll surround you with some people who help you. It's okay. You don't need it right now. Just wait. And once you see that God takes his time and wants the best for you, you realize sometimes later, I'm not going to rush stuff. I'm not rushing it. I ain't going to rush it. I'm not even going to rush it. Ask Misty. And come on. Ask Misty. I told her, even when we got together, she's like, I don't even know if he wants to be together. I said, I am not going to force God's hand. God had to push me. Because I had gotten a position with me and him. I was guarded. I'm like, no, just me and you, man. I like this.
That's good.
Live my life where I want to live it. It's good. I felt preserved. I really wasn't growing, though. And God said, for what I have for you, I got someone else in. It took me a little bit. But once I get into something, I get into it. So, hence 17 years later, here she is. Has nothing to do with the fact that my emotions are always where they need to be. Has nothing to do with the fact of whether or not I feel like I'm always in love. Has nothing to do with, no, has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the fact that God said, I have brought you a woman for you to be in a relationship with, for you to be have a helpmate, and to compliment you in your walk. And I will teach you, and you will understand what it means to be in a healthy relationship and not elevate someone into a place of a godlike status where they need to be. And tell her, she's not. And vice versa. And guess what? It's working. Because of God's grace. Because it's not about, it, man, we got time. I like that. Come on, what kind of church are we in? I like that. Okay. It's not about, intimacy is one thing. It's not about sex. People think, I'm just going to go and I'm going to have, not about sex. It's the intimacy that we have. First of all, if I'm not intimate here, this ain't right. So intimacy is happening, but it's happening on a right way of where we can be intimate, but I can release her back to God and say, oh, she's yours. And then we can walk hand in hand. And I can come in here and do my job. She can go do her job. And guess what? We can come home later and just have high five each other and say, hey, how was work? How was life? Just do life. Because knowing at any moment, God could say, okay, it's time. But if I was like this, oh, girl, you ain't going nowhere. Come on, I'm going to hug you. You ain't going nowhere, girl. No. Every time I saw her, I dragged on her, and she doesn't like to be touched, number one, so I'm just doing this anyway. And I'm like, you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going. And I'm just going to kiss. I'm going to kiss her all over. She gets weird and all this stuff. I'm just going to kiss on her. Listen, I can't be like that all the time, okay? I could love her, appreciate her, and do all that stuff, but in the end, it's him. Love always protects, preserves, pushes. God is so good that his and I's relationship is growing and grows in spite of what's happening in my life and who is in my life. Because when it's in the right place, it works. When it's the role switch, it becomes godlike. The relationship does. And it doesn't work that way. Try it even in your life. This week, God began to reveal to you some things that some areas you were like, hold on. Maybe I'm putting that person where they don't need to be. And I've been there. And when you recognize it, recognize the trap, get back where you need to be. Because your life is at stake. God didn't call you. Why am I on this today, Jenny? Because I feel it. Okay? Why? I didn't call you to be in a relationship and then so you can die. I didn't bring you into a relationship so you can lose yourself. I brought you into a relationship so you can experience another level of life. That's what it is. And I'm so in love with you, I'll protect you from you in the relationship. So if I feel like you're getting out of hand, I'll whoop you up and you get back where you need to be. And I praise God for that. I praise God that never being in a spot where it's like, she's source. You can't do it. If you're thinking about right now, some of y'all are thinking about you're getting married soon, okay? Talk to me. Talk to someone wiser. Don't go into it thinking that this person has now solved the age-old problem of having a relationship with the opposite sex, and we're going to do life, and we're going to ride out until we die, and there's going to be no issues. Nope. You know what's going to happen? You're going to pass through the waters. You're going to be touched by fire, because once you get into this relationship, you have now opened yourself up to the enemy and saying, okay, we're going to test that two becoming one theme. And so now you're supposed to be a representation of who God is. Okay, Brad, here's your shadow. Okay, Brad, here's an issue you didn't deal with from your past. Okay, Brad, here's a thought process. Okay, Rachel, here you go. Rachel, remember that thing that happened a long time ago? All of a sudden, things start going off because you think once they get together, it's going to be good. All it does is magnify your stuff. Because now you can go home. Right? If you need to. Oh, I'm going to get out of here. It then becomes, you got to go home now. Where are you going to go now? You're married now, remember? I don't know what to do. I got to go. No, you're going home. You can't hide now. Oh, man. And God says, we'll bring it together, but I'm going to bring you out of hiding. Malia, stand up to your feet right now. Let's all stand up. We're going to close. We'll finish next week. We're trying to get what God wants, but we don't want pressure. We don't want problems. We don't want care. We don't want anything. And so God said, that's how it works. So I'm bringing you into relationship with other people to force you out of hiding so that I could see the real you. And the reality is that, and if I'm honest, okay, there are certain things about me I did not see until I got married. Because you don't know you. You're becoming acquainted with you. God says the only way that you really begin to know you is that if you're around other people who bring it out of you. And so they're going to push you, push your buttons, push your issues, cause things to come up. They're like, man, I didn't know that was there. And God says, oh, I did, and we're bringing it out because of the fact that that's the only way it does come out. Because now it's going to be not just about intimacy, but it's also going to be about a relationship. Before, you can just hit it and quit it and go home. That's not happening now. I said it. Y'all said it because y'all like, what is that? You know what it is. Come on. You want privilege but no responsibility. That's, man, Lord, help me on this tape. Friends with benefits. We friends, we have benefits, but there's no commitment here. And God said, no, we ain't going to work that way. We're going to be in relationship to one another. Then we're going to commit to one another, and this is how it's going to work. You're going to share life together. You're going to see things about her that are going to come out that you're not going to like, and vice versa, and I'm going to cause you to talk about some stuff. And listen, I am changing you, but I am not taking you out of the marriage. I'm just bringing the whole you out, who you are. I'm not trying to replace Misty in the marriage. I want Misty's coming out. All her stuff's coming out. The good, the bad. Misty is Misty. I preserve Misty. She's not going to change in who she is in her essence. We are opposite. And it's very clear. And God, in just showing me stuff, said, listen, you don't need to apologize for being you. And the enemy, and I'll just be honest, the enemy sometimes uses that. I'm just trying to help you just be a little vulnerable here. Trust you use that and say, yeah, you really can't be you. Now, you know, because that happens and, you know, there's stuff that you have and there are issues that you're dealing with in your life and you really can't be you because if you're you, then God really can't bless you. And you got to play this game with the enemy. Like, shut up, number one. And yes, God has to come in and say, be you because I can't bless anything else. Be you. If you're not you, you're not doing your part in the relationship. You're not doing your part. I'm actually using you in this relationship. Be you. You be you. You be you. I'll be me. Come on, Sharon. Because I always protect, I always preserve, and I'll always push. And what I'll do, I'll have all these three things working. And before you know it, a beautiful thing is being created in your life. And there are certain things you'll begin to see about yourself that you say, I can't even believe that was there. And it was there all because you stayed in the process. And when it was hard, passed through the waters. When it was difficult, you stood in the fire. You let me do it. You didn't run. And because you didn't run, guess what? Here's an anointing. Here's more power. Here's more authority. Because you allowed me to crush, tear down, and build back up. And because of now your tenacity and now your ability to stand strong, now I'm going to pour out my blessing upon you. But you got to let me do it. You got to go through it and stand in it. There's no other way. Lord, is there another way? No, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And in the end, it's better for you. It's better for you. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, who you are, all the things that you do in our life that we don't even see. Thank you for working behind the scenes. Thank you, God, for giving us the ability just to stand strong and to be in your grace and in your will even when we don't want to be. Thank you, God, for the ability to stand strong, the ability, God, to trust you even when we can't see. Thank you today, God, as people are passing through the waters. Thank you, God, as they're getting singed a little bit by fire. Thank you, God, that they're going to stay in the process. God, that you're making something good, that you're changing them, you're rearranging them, you're creating that metamorphosis, that renewing of their mind. Thank you, God, for preserving them in the middle of it, preserving them. Thank you that you haven't abdicated them, that who they are is who they will be. Thank you for their part in the process. But what we have not seen of them, thank you, God, that it will be revealed. In the process, thank you, God, for more of a beautiful expression of your love operating through us in our life because of who you are, your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the ability, God, for us to trust you even when we don't see it, when we don't feel it. Thank you, God, for the times you said just to stand in it and just to take it. Thank you, God, for helping us to see the traps, avoiding the trap, But even when the trap does come, to know that we have that authority to pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, take every thought captive according to the obedience of Christ. And I thank you for your glorious gift of your Son today and for the precious promises that you've given us in your word. They pertain to life and godliness. And I thank you, God, for life and godliness in here because of who you are in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.